nothingness. But he'd do it for his family. "I'm restored," I finally announced. "Not that," he snapped. "Do I look like an idiot?" Alex opened his mouth to speak, but I sent him a seething glare of "shut the hell up," before he pouted and waited for more information. "No," I answered for everyone. "But you're making Genesis nervous. You know it's impossible for a human to be in your presence too long without heart problems." "Genesis," Sariel said her name with reverence. "How are the twins?" All talking and thinking ceased in that damn room.
"Healthy," she answered in a bold voice. "Thank you for asking."
Sariel's eyes went white. "It will be a hard birth."
"If it were easy, men would do it."
Alex burst out laughing, while Sariel's mouth curved into an amused smile. "I think you've made your point." Genesis bowed behind him, while Mason started slamming plates again. "We can talk about your mating at a later date. Right now, I have more pressing matters. Say, matters that deal with life and death. The death of a certain demon, and the secrets he may or may not have spilled before his blood stained your hands." Sariel said the words with such indifference, my body trembled. Did lives matter to him? And why did they suddenly matter to me? Why did I suddenly care about the demon's blood downstairs, or the lives that could be lost because of the secret he held? Why did I care? The answer came to me as Stephanie lightly brushed the back of my neck with her fingertips. Her. It was because of her. I cared because I loved her. Her love made me feel. All the things I pushed away. The darkness told me it was dangerous to feel. The darkness was right. Because in feeling, I cared. I wanted fairness. I wanted equality. I wanted peace. Hell, I wanted the impossible. "So," Sariel stood, his feathers brushing from one edge of the room to the other, nearly pushing Mason to the floor as they spread wide in their vibrancy. "I simply came to ask what you've done. What all of you..." He turned only slightly, since his wings blocked his ability to twist completely around. "Have done. We..." I stood to my full height, which matched Sariel's, though I had no wings, being a victim of the curse, I was semi-grounded. "Can ask the same question of you, can we not?" Sariel's face twisted into a knowing smile. "I always wondered when this day would come. There were times I doubted it, especially when Eva came along, throwing you off your purpose, your destiny." He shook his head. "And now look, still weakened by emotion. Will you never learn, my son? Emotions are frivolous, a curse upon the human race, one you bear because of your parentage. Give in to that emotion, and you will only feel pain."
"I'd rather feel something," I answered.
"Oh, you will." He glanced behind me at Stephanie. "Believe me, it will be the greatest pain of your existence. Now," he rubbed his hands together, "direct me to the blood, if you would."
Mumbling out a curse, I clapped open my hands. No need. The blood from downstairs spread between my fingertips. The different flecks of colored dust spread around the table, a possibility only because the blood was mixed with angel blood. Sariel stumbled backward.
"I think that means he didn't know," Alex whispered loudly. "Don't angels know everything?"
Genesis mused out loud. "Do I look all-knowing?" Sariel fired back. "Believe me, life would be so much easier
if I saw every angle. I see 3.5.
3.5?
Genesis asked.
3.5 what?
Sides. Sariel picked up the dust between his forefinger and thumb, rubbing it together as the red parts of the blood stuck to his fingertip, clearly wanting to bond again with its true purpose.
I see every side, but half of a side is missing. It keeps me loyal.
Alex coughed wildly, and I shared an amused look with him while he shrugged his shoulders.
The demons, Sariel sighed, are more trouble than they are worth.
And we keep them around because...
Why?
Alex yawned. Just say the word and I'll go all siren on their asses.
I think they'd enjoy that way too much,
Ethan teased.
No.
Sariel dusted his hands together.
We do this the right way. There's no need to start a war, and there certainly isn't any need to exterminate an entire race just because they've been bad. Think of what would have happened with Dracula.
All eyes turned to Ethan.
Horrible example,
Ethan grumbled.
Cassius, since you've discovered the answer to your little riddle, your 30 days are now over.
He snapped his fingers.
You are fully restored and are ordered to immediately investigate, with your mate's help, the sudden influx of demons.
And the angel blood? Mason asked. Where the hell are they getting it?
Cease from cursing in my presence,
Sariel snapped.
And if I knew, I'd tell you.
A wry grin widened Alex's mouth.
That damn missing half-side of things.
Sariel shot him a withering glance, and the grin faded.
So, it's only us then? I braved the question. Just me and Stephanie?
Silence answered us. And then,
you have your orders. Keep me updated.
He moved away from the kitchen as his wings disappeared, replaced by a leather jacket and dark wash jeans.
So he uses the front door now?
Alex asked. My skin prickled with awareness. It was too easy. The entire thing was too easy. And if there was anything I'd learned in my time on Earth, it was that things were never as easy as they seemed.
Wait here, I whispered to Stephanie, following Sariel out the door.
His footsteps crunched against the gravel, and then he stopped, lifting his eyes heavenward as stars shone down on both of us. Only I was still blanketed in darkness. The light couldn't shine on a dark one. We weren't given the honor. Only angels. Purebloods.
There's something else, isn't there? I asked.
Sariel pointed up to the sky.
How many do you think? Look down on us. Wish for more than their existence.
None. I would venture none.
Do you know why, Cassius?
More riddles. Just my luck. No. No, I do not.
Because their purpose is to shine, not to have an opinion or feelings. They rest in the occupation they have been given, and they excel at it.
Yes. A few more stars twinkled down, casting a light glow across Sariel's face. He turned to me, his eyes white.
Ask your question, son.
A vision. I nearly choked with the horribleness of it. Stephanie saw the future. A future. She was killing me.
You stood behind her.
Sariel didn't look surprised. If anything, his shoulders seemed to slump, his glow defeated.
Yes.
I die by her hand?
Futures can change.
He said in a chilling voice,
though I've only seen it change once with an immortal.
Once? His eyes went wide again.
With you. Your future changed the minute you saved the girl from death. Your future was certain, set in stone, until you chose.
I've always had free will. He posed a question.
But how often have you acted on it?
He held out his hand in front of him, closed it tightly, then opened it as a small flower began to grow.
This flower does not choose to be planted. It simply is. What would happen, do you think, if the flower decided it wanted to be planted elsewhere? If it demanded of its creator to be given an entirely new occupation, a new existence? And this creator, in his divine love for this flower, allowed it.
The flower. I swallowed, even though my mouth had gone dry, not knowing the dangers of life, could ask to be planted in the water, on a hill without sunshine. The flower could die. The chances are, the flower will die, if left to its own devices.
Yet,
Sariel held up his hand.
It's allowed, because one cannot truly love something, yet keep it in a safe little box. That is not love. Love does not hold back. It allows us to fall, to break. And yes, Cassia, sometimes, it even allows us to die.
You're not making me feel better.
I never was good at these sorts of talks.
A foreign chuckle escaped between his lips and closed his hands.
I see many futures for you. I also am purposefully blinded from several outcomes. But I will tell you this. If she does not learn to control the darkness, if you do not help her, she will kill you. And I will have no choice but to help her, or she will destroy herself in the process.
I sucked in a breath.
You'd help her kill me. To save the girl you love. To save your mate. What would you have me do? Let you both die?
No.
Then you have your answer.
He nodded curtly.
You've had centuries of practice. She's had a week. And if she's not careful, she'll get drunk on the power. She'll allow it to consume her. You realize how the darkness calls. It never screams your name.
He leaned in close, his eyes turning black.
It whispers.
Chapter 28. Stephanie. Sleeping next to Cassius still felt forbidden, like someone was going to barge into our room and yell, or like Alex was going to ground me, which was just ridiculous. I was a grown woman. But still, I could see him trying it. I only needed around 6 hours of sleep, and even then I could go days without rest, but Cassius, I'd learned, had turned into one of those overprotective boyfriend types. When I told him I wanted to stay up and watch movies with Genesis, he picked me up, tossed me over his shoulder, and ran up the stairs with me. And when I tried to pull his shirt off, he lightly slapped my hands and told me to rest. I didn't even realize I was tired until my eyes were too heavy to keep open. Why was I suddenly exhausted? I knew Dark Ones rarely slept. Maybe it was just the day.
Sleep.
He'd kissed my forehead and then lain down next to me. I glanced at the clock. 4 in the morning. Ethan would probably be up soon. Vampires like to be up with the sun, and Mason had suddenly developed a horrible habit of baking first thing in the morning, so that when Genesis woke up, she was able to have a warm muffin to ease her morning sickness. With a sigh, I tossed and turned, then finally got comfortable enough to close my eyes and nestle into Cassius's strong arms. Sleep again overwhelmed me as the blackness of the room swirled around me in warmth. I didn't think I'd missed the warmth. Until now. Cold? A voice whispered. I blinked open my eyes, but all I saw was darkness. Was I dreaming? I felt the bed for Cassius. He was still next to me, but I couldn't see him.
I can make you warm.
The voice chuckled.
Shall I start a fire for both of us?
What? I reached out in front of me, unable to even see my hand. Who are you?
Darkness.
It hissed. I would have laughed if my body hadn't chilled in that very moment and then nearly wept with the rightness of it. Darkness, you say?
I am darkness. Your other half. Hello.
Did it just say hello? Frowning, I reached out. This time, my fingers came into contact with something. The darkness rippled in front of me, and then, like a mirage, the darkness turned into a face. The beautiful face of a man. He grinned.
Come a little closer.
I tried, but my feet felt like they were stuck to the ground.
Mated.
He shook his head.
That is unfortunate for you. If you were free to choose me, I'd make you warm. Now you must stay cold, grounded.
Black feathers surrounded his shoulders, attached in weird, haphazard ways all around his muscular body.
Now if he was gone, you would be mine.
The idea thrilled me, but I had no idea why.
I'm extremely powerful.
His eyes became pensive.
All you have to do is embrace the power.
He shrugged.
The power in every Dark One.
Cassius, he has this power too? I asked.
For a while.
The man shrugged.
He used it for a while, but his friends.
He spat the word.
Brought him back.
Confused, I tried to search for something familiar, but the room was still blanketed in black, and the man in front of me was growing by the minute.
One day you will call upon me in your time of need. Then I'll prove my loyalty, and then we'll be together.
The way he said it made it sound like a mating, but I already had Cassius. I didn't understand. Was I just having a nightmare? A weird dream?
The power is always at your fingertips. Imagine, you could save all you love, all you care about, by simply allowing the darkness to overcome the light. A Dark One is born with both, but it is your choice. Always your choice.
The idea that I had a choice was life-changing. Because my entire life, choices had been made for me, even Cassius.
Yes.
The darkness continued speaking.
Even your love chose for you. He chooses for you even now. Do you have a mind of your own, or are you a puppet?
I'm not, I shouted. I'm powerful. Darkness swirled around my body.
Yes.
He nodded approvingly.
You are.
The darkness suddenly warmed my body, singed me from the inside out. Intoxicating in its warmth, I allowed it to spread when suddenly I was punched, or it felt like I was getting punched in the stomach.
Wake up!
Cassius shouted. I fell on the floor and looked up at him. What was that for? White eyes glared back at me as the smell of smoke filled the air. I scrunched up my nose as Cassius put out the fire on the bedspread. When I stood to look at the damage, I gasped. What happened? The entire bedspread was singed. The pillows? Ash. Cassius let out a loud curse and stood.
You.
He swallowed, his eyes swirling with blues and whites.
It seems you finally met darkness.
He,
He? Cassius chuckled. I guess it would be a he for you, hm? More tempting that way. Darkness takes many forms.
I don't understand.
You wouldn't.
Cassius pulled me into his arms.
Because darkness is you.
I was still reeling from my weird dream, or was it an introduction? The singed smell of burning sheets filled the entire upstairs. Ethan was irritated. Then again, ever since Genesis had become pregnant, he'd turned into an over-worried tyrant. He'd already taken it upon himself to baby-gate the stairway. Mason was on board with that idea with so much enthusiasm he offered to install 6 of them. Things were going downhill fast, and as much as I wanted to join in on the excitement, there was the whole darkness thing. On top of trying to find out whoever was making more immortal demons. Oh, and if life wasn't stressful enough, in less than 30 days, I apparently was going to kill the man I loved. Life sucked. A plate slid in front of me. The pancake was fluffy, huge, and had been smothered in enough syrup and butter to kill a human. Mason sat across from me, his plate filled with a spiky pine cone and a handful of raspberries.
You looked like you needed it.
I picked up my fork. You remembered my favorite meal.
How could I forget?
He grinned.
Every year on your birthday, once you joined the council, you wanted pancakes instead of actual cake. Apparently nobody taught you the difference as a child, so let's blame Alex.
I heard my name.
Alex limped into the room.
What the hell happened to you?
Mason burst out laughing as Alex found a chair and winced.
Baby Gates. Alex cursed. A hell of a lot of baby Gates. Who knew that would be my downfall?
I did, I said between bites. You're a siren. It's like your kryptonite. The fact that you could have sex and produce children, it's enough to make you abstinent. Face blank, Alex outwardly trembled.
Shh.
Mason handed Alex a berry.
You're scaring him.
It's like a mean bedtime story.
Alex glared at me.
Also, a little bird told me you nearly burned down the house last night. Care to share any intimate details?
She met darkness.
This from Mason as he used his incisors to take a huge bite out of the pine cone.
Ah, crazy, right? Like meeting the worst part of yourself while at the same time being seduced.
He pressed his lips together in a seductive pout.
I bet darkness is hot.
He is, I corrected. Alex looked nonplussed. His expression didn't change.
You know I don't discriminate between the sexes. If he's good-looking, good for him. Good for all of us.
The sound of Mason chomping on the pine cone scraped over my nerves like nails on a chalkboard. I gave him a pointed look. Slumping, he dropped it back onto his plate and popped a berry into his mouth, his hand transforming into a claw so that he didn't need to use a fork to poke each berry.
Circus freak,
Alex muttered, reaching for Mason's coffee.
Why?
Ethan stormed into the room.
Didn't you warn her?
Cassius followed close on his heels.
What the hell did you expect me to say? Oh, by the way, in your dreams you're going to get a visit from darkness. Have fun, be careful not to set the house on fire. Oh, and if you're hot and bothered, it's not me.
For the record, I interjected, I wasn't hot and bothered, just warm. They ignored me.
If she can't control herself, she can't stay.
Ethan slammed his fist down onto the granite, cracking it down the middle.
Genesis is pregnant. She needs protection from things like that.
Pieces of granite flew into the air as Ethan pointed in my direction. I slumped low in my seat. Mason let out a low curse.
I hate ordering new kitchen appliances. Home Depot employees are always so judgmental.
Alex winced as the crack in the granite extended farther. Then the counter slammed into the floor.
Just tell them you got carried away with your last stripper. I'd go with it. Then once we flash them, nothing but cash, lean in and whisper, Mafia.
Mason poked another berry with his claw.
Maybe I'll just take you with me and tell them you're my lover. Last time we did that, we got 50% off.
Alex sighed heavily.
Because she was totally into me, not you.
He scrunched up his nose. You smell too funny for her taste, which is why you hung out by appliances while I took her out back. Ethan turned. You did what? To a human? Taught her how to saw. Mason interjected. At the depot of Holmes. I barely managed to keep my smile in as Cassius shared a confused look with Ethan. Lots of sharp edges. Alex nodded emphatically. Very dangerous. But don't worry, none of your precious blood was spilled. A low growl erupted from Mason. One day you're going to get caught for tasting forbidden fruit. Another raspberry flew through the air and into his mouth. And I'm going to laugh. What's going to happen when your tricks stop working on human women? Alex didn't look worried. They'll attack in mob-like fashion. Mason nodded. Yes, what a fantastic day that will be. Cassius frowned. Do they attack at the depot of Holmes? It's Home Depot, I corrected. And don't pay attention to them, they've been bickering all morning. Here. Alex tossed a pinecone into the air. Have some tree. Technically it's a seed, Mason grumbled, biting into his berries while Ethan slowly made his way over to the group. The tension in the room was extremely uncomfortable as his eyes blazed vampire green. Oh, good. He was pissed. With a snarl, his fangs elongated.
2 days.
He jammed a finger in my direction.
She gets her powers under control in 2 days, and she can stay. If not, then you're on the streets.
And when he says streets, he means you get to shack up with Cassius so you don't burn down Ethan's house with his precious human in it, Alex said.
I thought we were beyond that. Genesis breezed into the kitchen, immediately causing Ethan's eyes to go back to normal as he hissed and pulled away from us only long enough to tug Genesis into his arms and kiss her neck.
No biting in public, Cassius mumbled under his breath. That's against immortal rules. Not that you listen to me anyway.
I've been bitten, Alex announced as all heads turned in his direction. I found it extremely erotic. Then she tried to kill me.
Surprised only one of your stories ends that way. I imagine if women were in their right minds while you tried to seduce them, they'd all want to kill you.
An elk followed me home once, too. Thought itself in love with me.
Alex yawned. Disgusted, since I still thought of him as my brother, I stood and held out my hand to Cassius. Should we get started? His face was void of emotion. I was almost afraid that we were going to go back to the way things were. Him ignoring me ignoring the searing pain in my heart every time he refused to acknowledge that there was something between us.
Outside.
Cassius gripped my hand in his, then raised it to his lips.
Lesson number one. Dark ones know no fear.
I was about to respond when a cold blast of air slammed me against the wall. I tried to move, but the air held me immobile. My breathing came in short gasps as air pushed against my mouth. Cassius leaned in, his lips grazing my ear.
Afraid?
No, I wheezed. The pressure increased. Why was nobody helping me?
Because you can help yourself.
Cassius's voice was a small whisper in my head. I closed my eyes and then willed my hands to push out in front of me as I turned the wind on Cassius. With a grunt, I had him slammed against the floor, the same wind pushing him down. Oh, no. I covered my mouth with my hands and leaned over him. Are you okay? His smile was bright. Deadly. A bit more erotic than I'd ever seen it.
Oh, yes.
He chuckled darkly.
More than okay, I think.
He reached for my head, tugging it down to press a hungry kiss against my mouth.
Is that porn?
Mason whispered. Alex let out a groan.
No, Wolf. But they are engaging in front of others. Is that not what porn is? Why Genesis said no to the other store we walked by with the bright lights and... Where the hell are you taking him at night?
Alex yelled.
Geez, Genesis, he's like an innocent. You can't just prostitute the pine cones out of him.
Genesis let out a loud laugh. Don't worry about it. What's between me and Mason is between me and Mason. Another loud crunch of a pine cone. Cassius pulled away from me.
Outside.
Yeah, let's take this outside. Big boy. Cassius's warm laughter made my entire morning. Chapter 29. Stephanie.
Teaching you, he explained once we were outside, isn't the same as showing you. Therefore, we're just going to get into it.
Into it? I asked. Cassius grabbed my arm, the cold stung like icy needles running up and down my arm. When my eyes were able to focus again, I wished I was stuck with temporary blindness. Everywhere I looked, demons were sleeping. Somehow we'd gone from standing outside Ethan's house to somewhere else completely, all within the span of seconds.
This, Cassius whispered, is the fun part.
A loud whooshing sound crashed in the middle of the warehouse, and then it started to pour rain. Demons scattered to the farthest edges of darkness. That was until Cassius held up his hand, and like a light was being turned on, every single shred of darkness was removed from the room. They shrieked and bellowed, and then finally one stepped forward. I didn't know his name, didn't recognize him at all.
You know why we're here.
Cassius's voice boomed, like it often did, when he was exuding an enormous amount of power. He reminded me of the Disney cartoon Hercules. When he turned into a god, his voice had developed an echo to it while his body was light itself. That's what Cassius looked like. Only better looking. Real flesh and blood. A man. Not a cartoon.
Yes!
The demon covered his eyes.
Could you at least dim the lights, Cassius?
With a slow nod, the lights lowered to a mere glow while the demon paced in front of Cassius.
Well, Cassius asked, we don't have all day.
It's angel blood. The demon tilted his head in my direction, his eyes moving to the back of his head.
It smells like her, like you. Dark ones possess elements of angelic blood, you know this.
Cassius said in a bored tone.
The spice.
The demon took a cautious step toward me and sniffed.
It isn't as sweet as her scent or yours. Almost like the Dark One was born out of...
He shuddered.
Fear.
Confused, I figured I could just ask later, but Cassius must have thought I needed to know right away.
Most Dark Ones are born out of one of the seven sins. Lust, greed, envy.
He sniffed the air in front of him.
But from what you're saying, this mating that took place was...
Rape, the demon finished.
Which is impossible, a human raping an angel, or vice versa. They'd be killed on the spot for even thinking it.
Unless it was no human.
Unless the human wasn't fully human. Immortal, maybe.
Cassius wondered aloud.
Can you track it?
Whatever you wish. You know my friends and family are innocent. You've tasted the truth in the air the minute you arrived. The air was clear with honesty, with nothing but truth, and, yes, a bit of fear. Funny I'd never recognized fear before, always thought of it to be this weird, fleeting emotion that paralyzed humans. But fear was small. If I closed my eyes tight enough, I could see it in my mind's eye. It was like a child or toddler. And then, all of a sudden, it was given food, growing before my very eyes until it was a giant, until it eclipsed everything in its presence.
Fear is born small, the demon whispered. We are the ones who make it big.
Pity rushed through me. The demons were cursed just like the Dark Ones, cursed to live out the rest of their existence knowing that in the end they would be judged just like the humans, just like everyone else. It was also why they weren't allowed to create. Creating more demons was creating more curses. While creating a vampire or a siren wasn't as frowned upon, they actually possessed their souls. Demons did not. Though they did still have feelings. And that was the saddest part of all. They could feel. They could hope all they wanted. It was always in vain. But we still try. The demon locked eyes with me. We will try every day until our penance is over. We will try to stay in the good graces of angels and dark ones alike.
Thank you,
Cassius mumbled. The rain stopped and the darkness returned.
Track the blood.
The darkness, the demon whispered as Cassius grabbed my arm. It has her, Cassius. I can feel it.
Chapter 30 Cassius. I blocked my thoughts from her. The last thing she needed was to be aware of my concern. Bringing her to the demons was twofold. I needed information, and next to the wolves, they were the best trackers we had. Besides, there was no loyalty within their ranks. Someone would talk, because they were constantly fighting for dominance, control, and when that person did talk, I hoped it would be loud enough for me to hear. I also wanted to see if the demons could sense the dark swirling within her. I was too close to the situation. Funny, I suddenly cared too much about our joint futures, our destinies, that I was also blinded from hers. The minute we mated, her future was lost to me. Every time I touched her, I heard darkness whispering. She wasn't even aware that darkness was speaking, but like a slow storm, it was building, brewing, and I could do nothing but hope that in the end, I would be strong enough to bring her away from the temptation that every immortal being who possessed angel blood was given, to be like a god. It was a lie. Darkness twisted its lies in such a way that the air didn't taste bitter, but clear for the first time, because not every lie spoken was done outright, yet woven with tiny bits and pieces of truth. I shuddered and returned my thoughts to the demons. My money was on Timber, but I refused to visit him until Stephanie had more control of her powers. She might be stronger, but Timber was evil, and the darkness in her would recognize his evil and want to unite with it. Regardless of who was standing next to her, regardless of who I was to her, she'd be tempted, because we're always tempted when we don't understand things. I had never told her the road would be easy. I wished it were. What does he mean? Stephanie asked, once we were in the parking lot, near the water at Pike Place Market. So normal, to walk with her hand in hand, as we maneuvered our way through fish throwing and people selling flowers. The flowers leaned toward us as we walked by, sensing the lifeblood flowing through our veins. The wind picked up, as insects paused whatever they were doing and watched, curiously waiting to see if we would bring about the destruction we were so known for, or if we truly were just walking by the flowers. Nature held its breath, and I held Stephanie's hand. Her fingertips pressed against mine. It was really all I needed, but like a sick reminder of the direction of her thoughts, I sensed the darkness in her, wrapping its black tendrils around her neck, choking her, whispering to her, "Give in, give in, give in." It had taken me years to recognize that the voice was like the devil that sat on my shoulder. Most of the time it was right. Most of the time it told me to destroy every human I saw. It told me to drink their blood, to snap their necks. It told me I was a god. It told me I should be worshipped. And most days, I didn't believe it. But at my weakest, I did want those things. I wanted to destroy life, because life didn't respect life. Life was fantasy, and the road to paradise was ridden with people who didn't deserve to be traveling it in the first place. It would be my given right to exterminate them. And then, the light inside me reminded me, you are just like them, undeserving
at times very weak and cursed. Yet, you are allowed to live. Why not them? People passed in front of us. I stopped Stephanie and pointed at the couple as the man fell to his knee and proposed to his girlfriend. "What do you see?" I asked. She sighed happily, squeezing my hand tightly. "Love." "Look closer," I instructed. Frowning, she stared harder. "I don't know what you want me to see." "Call the darkness, but do not touch." "How do I call it?" "It's you," I nodded, allowing my eyes to go black as I stared at the couple again, through what I knew would be my own shades of darkness. The couple that looked so happy, that appeared so perfect, was far from it. The woman was worried for her safety, but he was so happy, the man proposing, that this was it, she thought. He was going to stop beating her. He was going to stop, because he loved her. The man smiled brightly. His thoughts were of killing her. Finally, he breathed a sigh of relief. "She'll be mine, and nobody else's. I'll kill her before I let her touch anyone else. Mine, mine, mine." As they embraced, bruises spread across her arms. Her teeth fell out, blood spewed from her mouth, and the man began strangling her, and then wrapped something around her neck, only to shoot himself in the head after. With a startled gasp, Stephanie clung to me. I pushed the darkness away, ignoring the tug to look further, and hugged her tighter against me. "It's getting worse." She looked around at the people walking by, bumping into us. With each bump, she was given a vision of the horror of their lives, of what they were capable of. "Stop. It needs to stop." "Shh." I held her as tight as I could and linked my thoughts to hers, pressing the darkness away. But it pressed back, stronger than I'd realized. I tried again, only to have it laugh in my face. "Cling to the happy, the light." "There is no happy," she sobbed. "Everything is dark." "I'm light," I whispered in her ear. "Look at me." She opened her eyes, and then slowly, the black slid away from her irises, returning them to a milky white, and then bright blue. "What just happened?" "That," I led her away from the crowd, "is darkness. It's why it's so tempting. Why let that couple live, when their certain future is doom?" Chapter 31. Cassius.
"It's my job to keep the peace."
Stephanie shuddered in my arms, then jerked away from me as black spread throughout her white eyes.
"We should destroy them all."
"And then what?" I asked. "To what end?"
"Peace."
Her voice took on a gravelly edge that I recognized. Was it so long ago that I'd lost Eva? That I'd allowed darkness to consume me? That I'd wanted nothing more than to jump into the black hole and allow it to embrace every part of my soul I still possessed? For a few minutes, it had felt right. But Ethan, Mason, and Alex had not allowed it. Luckily, Ethan's words had made sense at the time, enough sense that I used my strength to push away from darkness and allow myself to mourn. Mourn the life I felt like I should have had, the life darkness said I deserved. But darkness didn't just call for the death of humanity. It also called for the death of angels and immortals alike. Darkness was within everyone. It lays dormant until it sees the perfect opportunity to offer a better suggestion to your circumstances. Darkness is in humans. It's in immortals. It's in the very air we breathe. But the worst type of darkness is the kind we keep in our hearts. We treasure it, hold it dear, allow it to help us justify our actions. And when it's too late, we blame it for everything, while it points its finger back at us and laughs. Sighing, I reached out and pressed my fingers against her lip, allowing the frost of my fingertips to cool her hot body down. With a gasp, she sucked in one finger, then two, then jerked my body against hers. Our mouths fused in a battle of dominance as I spread my cold around her. Darkness was always hot, comforting to a dark one, until it burned that dark one alive. "Come back," I whispered, my lips pressed against hers as I called to her light. "Come back to me." Stephanie slumped against my body, her breathing erratic as her fingers dug into the muscles in my back. "I think I want to be done training for the day." Her voice was scratchy, like she just spent the last few minutes screaming at the top of her lungs. And who knew? Maybe she had. Maybe she was yelling at darkness. Maybe that's what it took to pull her away. "It will get easier," I promised. "It just takes time." Still trembling, I held her as tight as I could, swearing to myself I'd die before I let anything happen to her, and in a thought of true irony, to save her from the darkness, from herself, I'd allow her to kill me. If that's what it took, I'd accept my fate, gladly. "You know how Ethan gave Genesis lessons about immortals and our history?" Stephanie asked, changing the subject as we walked hand in hand down the sidewalk. "Yes." She stopped. "I think it's my turn." "Hell." I released her hand. "I'm not sure that's the best idea."
"You don't even know what I'm asking."
"Yes, I do." My laugh was completely without humor. "You want to know what the darkness really is? You want to know Dark One's History 101? She nodded.
"Hell. You said that already.
Steph.
Please."
She reached for my hand, gripping it.
"If I just understood it, I could fight it."
I wrapped my arms around her waist and whispered,
"Lie."
"Huh?" "You lied to yourself."
"We can do that?"
"We're half human. We can do anything they can."
"Can angels lie?"
"They could," I said slowly, then rolled my eyes. "Damn it. You're going to get it out of me one way or another, aren't you?" "My next offer was some sort of mind-blowing sexual experience. With snow." I chuckled despite myself and the tense topic. "Snow, huh?"
"Lots of snow."
"You like snow?"
"Who told you that?"
"Genesis?" Stephanie shrugged.
"I may have let it slip that I could dreamwalk, and she said in your guy's dream, you always had snow surrounding you. You said it was comforting."
"Home." Emotion clogged my throat. "Always brings comfort."
"Home?"
Stephanie repeated.
"What do you mean, home?"
"Where I was born. It always brings comfort. Snow represents where I was born." Stephanie leaned in, sniffing the air.
"Truth."
"So, Cassius," she patted my stomach. I'd seen human couples do that before in teasing, and never understood the need for such trivial flirting with one's hands, until her hands were on me, until I was part of the couple, and every single glance and caress my way was like breathing for the first time, after being without air for an eternity.
"Where were you born?"
"Siberia?" "Da," I confirmed in Russian, and then pressed my fingertips to her wrist.
Chapter 32 Stephanie. "Where are we?"
I gasped, rubbing my arms. They weren't necessarily chilled, but they felt colder than ever before. The sun was just starting to set, casting a beautiful orange glow across a small city. It reminded me of Christmas. And the movie Frozen. The one that Genesis had forced Mason to watch only to ask him later if he could morph into a reindeer instead of a wolf for Halloween. He'd said he'd attempt it. Ethan and Alex still made fun of him for his promise, but that was Mason. He lived to make others happy. Maybe it was because he wasn't capable of happiness himself.
Mason, Cassius said, interrupting my thoughts, has a bright future.
And Alex? I couldn't help but ask.
Once you can control your power, you'll be able to comb through futures at ease,
Cassius explained.
And Alex has an intriguing few months ahead of him.
I liked the sound of that. The wind picked up just as the sun made its final descent behind the snow-covered mountains, blanketing everything but the few streetlights in darkness.
I forgot how quiet it was here,
Cassius mused, grabbing my hand in his. We were both in our street clothes, jeans and t-shirts. He quickly tugged me into the first store on the main street and pulled out a fur coat, hat, and pants that looked two sizes too big for my legs. Boots were tossed in my direction, and then he was at the counter, speaking in a harsh language I'd never heard him speak before. Could it be that Cassius really was Russian? The man at the desk laughed loudly, then pulled out a shot glass and a bottle of vodka. He poured one for himself, took it, then poured one for Cassius. Without breaking his laugh, Cassius tossed the alcohol back and slammed the shot glass back onto the table. They shook hands. While I stood there, open-mouthed, like I'd just seen a miracle occur. Cassius almost appeared normal. Almost. And then he smiled, and I was reminded all over again why he was so beautiful. So effortlessly gorgeous that it hurt to look at his face for too long of a stretch. His beauty was like a constantly changing painting. I always noticed something different about his face, his bright blue eyes, how dark his lashes were, the angle of his jaw, the shape of his sculpted lips. There was always something interesting, something unique, different, and I was immortal. I was used to seeing pretty things. I self-consciously tugged at my dark hair. Had my appearance altered much since the glamour wore off? Humans didn't seem to stare at me any differently, maybe longer, but they were born with a natural fear of things they didn't understand. And immortality was something they would never be able to comprehend, meaning they usually gave us a wide berth, even if they were interested. Sensual lips pressed together in a wicked smirk as Cassius held out his hand.
Do you like the boots?
I'm wearing Mason. I stared down at the furry boots and laughed. I think he'd be pissed if he saw these.
They don't hunt those types of wolves up here,
Cassius promised.
Even Mason's kind stay away from the bitter cold of Oymyakon.
Siberia. I shivered again, even though the cold was normal for my typically frigid body. So you were serious. Cassius smiled even wider. Maybe being home was good for him. So, I spread my free arm out as we walked down the abandoned icy streets. This is where young Cassius grew up. Cassius's face darkened for a brief moment before he grabbed my hand and started whistling. The tune wasn't familiar, but its haunting melody had me shivering as he continued to whistle and the wind picked up. I wrapped my jacket tighter around myself and ducked into his body. I'd always hated the wind. When I was little, it had reminded me of anger, of cold. And now that I was a dark one and didn't really get cold in the same way, I still hated it because it was still angry. Wind was nature's temper tantrum. At least, it had always felt that way.
Wind,
Cassius stopped whistling,
is a warning of things to come.
I frowned. In nature or in life? The wind dipped and roared down the street as we made our way toward a small, dark house.
Both.
Cassius began whistling again, and the wind howled right along with him. By the time we made it to the house, it had started to snow, the wind causing near whiteout conditions.
Be afraid,
Cassius whispered,
of the beauty of the heavens.
What?
Humans are afraid of what they do not understand, But the minute they come into contact with the very thing that brings them fear, and aren't burned or harmed in any way, bravery takes over. They touch. He winced. They explore. His body trembled. And they fall. It seemed like he was talking in riddles. He pushed the door open. A fire was lit in the hearth, taking the chill away from my body immediately. Stepping into the house was like stepping back in time. A woman rocked back and forth in an old rackety chair facing the fire, her small hands knit furiously at what looked like a child's sweater. "I knew you would eventually come." Cassius hung his head, then pressed his hand to my back, pushing me toward the woman. With a sigh, the woman stood, the fur blanket fell from her shoulders, and she faced me. "What?" I shook my blurry, confused head. "What are you?" I didn't sense that she was human, but there was something about her blood as I sniffed the air. She smelled human. She looked immortal. With pitch-black hair and bow-shaped red lips, she was like a princess. Her eyelashes had pieces of snow in them as if she'd just been outside dancing and twirling underneath the moon.
"Mother."
Cassius's greeting made me gasp.
"Meet your destiny."
The woman held out her hand.
"I see a great darkness in you, Stephanie."
I pulled my hand back and grabbed Cassius's arm.
"Something we all possess, Mother,"
Cassius said in a low voice.
"Darkness is not new to you."
"No." She sat back down.
"I guess it is not."
I watched their exchange in silence, still unable to understand how that woman could be Cassius's mother. How was she even alive?
"Sit," his mother instructed me, "and I'll tell you a story."
In silence, I sank onto a tired-looking wooden chair, a bit surprised at how sturdy it turned out to be.
"I was told the beauty was unparalleled, like walking through paradise."
The woman sighed in contentment.
"The problem with humanity has always been its need for more knowledge and power, never satisfied, never content."
Shivering, she wrapped the blanket tighter around her as Cassius moved to her side and tucked the edges around her small body.
"Immortal beings have always been."
Her eyes lost focus for a brief second as she stared into the fire.
"They were created right along with the angels. Have always coexisted in perfect harmony. Like two worlds that paralleled one another. The immortal plane existed, and the human plane existed. But there have always been situations where humans have learned of immortals or been forced to work with them. That is where your stories of lore come from."
She rocked back and forth in her chair, back and forth. So far, she wasn't telling me anything I didn't already know.
"There was only one rule,"
she sighed.
"Do not fall in love."
Her eyes locked on mine.
"But I did."
The fire crackled as she spread her hands wide, her palms facing down.
"My father was trusted with the immortal secret, with the knowledge of another world. He helped bring them humans in the beginning. He was the one who helped start the calling of numbers once immortals realized that humanity would need more help reining itself in. The immortals were a type of police, and they didn't have the numbers for it. So my father helped start the calling of breeders. They discovered that if an immortal vampire, for instance, mated with a human, the human not only gained immortality, but she was able to birth children. It was the perfect plan."
"But not all immortals are created equal,"
Cassius mumbled, and then pressed a kiss to his mother's hand.
"Why don't you sleep? You look tired. I can tell her the rest of the story."
"Yes,"
his mother nodded, tears pooling in her eyes.
"Yes, I'll do that."
She stood and walked off, softly shutting the door behind her. How is she still alive?
"A gift,"
Cassius answered.
"From my father."
"Sariel?" Cassius nodded.
"You said you wanted to know what Dark Ones really were and how it happened, so I'm going to take you back to the beginning."
"The beginning of the Dark Ones?"
His eyes flashed.
To the first one ever created.
He